You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to this afternoon's Q&A program on the sixth day of Zulqa'dah 1441. Mufti Sahab, our very next question. Is there a dua for the preservation of one's speech, sight and hearing?
Definitely, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala taught us various duas. You know, in the Quran Sharif it is mentioned, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ شَكُورٌ. Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala blessed us with the faculty of sight, hearing, speech, all these type of things. But Almighty Allah complains of me and you, O human being, the masterpiece, that you are the one, that you are. So very few of my servants are very, very grateful. So always say, Allahumma matti'ina bi asma'ina wa absarina. Ya Allah, let us take the maximum benefit of our hearing faculty, of our seeing faculty, and remember that wa quwwatina, all the limbs and all the faculties that you have blessed us with. When you study the ahadith, you will find all these type of duas. And therefore, in the morning, when we go for Fajr Salat, study the hadith of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what you will find, that after the sunnats, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam going towards the masjid and reading, Allahumma ij'al fi qalbi nura, wa fi sam'i nura, wa fi basari nura, wa fi lisani Nura, wafi badani nura. So remember, this is the very meaning of that. Ya Allah, you bless me with nur, radiance and effulgence in my hearing faculty, in my sight, in my speech, in my entire body, head to toe. So in that way, they Almighty Allah Jalla Allah will protect us. So each one of us should take these precautions, and we read these du'as as well. But what happens with us, that one side we're asking Allah for sight, but then we use the sight for more and more movies and haram things. Then we're asking Allah for faculty of hearing, but we're busy with the music and haram. Then we're asking Allah for speech, but then we are busy with all the lies and propaganda. So that also, remember, causes harm to us, spiritually, physically. So always we must remember, one side is the dua, but one side is it must be used in such avenues that is pleasing to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Mufti Sahab, next question that has come in, wanting to know about the recitation of Qur'an Kareem. Is there a particular surah that is there for to read for shifa purposes?
Surah Fatiha is called Surah to Shifa. You know, in hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Sahaba Abu Sayyid Khudri radiallahu anhu's hadith is mentioned that he read Surah Fatiha for the non-Muslim leader and he felt better and cured. And then they told Nabi alayhi salam, he gave them a whole, you know, lot of animals and so forth. So Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them it's fine and acceptable. So therefore, I always tell people, because Surah Fatiha, every Muslim knows, male, female, adult and child. So read Surah Fatiha 7 times, inshallah, and blow on yourself, blow on the person who's sick, and inshallah, Allah Jalla wa'ala will grant shifa. Likewise, the entire Quran Sharif is shifa. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَى. Almighty Allah says that we reveal this Quran Sharif and it is shifa and cure. We must have that conviction. Today we want to read, but we read half-heartedly, you know. And what happens when we read half-heartedly? So remember that Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, then that because we did not have that firm conviction, now we feel that nothing is happening. So how the doctor tells us, take this medication, but you must abstain from A, B and C. So similarly, the Quran is 100% the truth, but we also have to abstain from the haram things as well. So open chapter 17, Surah Bani Israel, and verse number 18. And you will find there. I always, when you ask questions like that, Hafiz Wadi, Barakallahu Fik, I mentioned the one incident of Ibn Sina. Ibn Sina, the West, they anglicized his name to Avicenna. You know, when people look at it, they'll think it's some person got nothing to do with Islam. So anyway, Islamically, he's known as Ibn Sina. The West call him Avicenna. He wrote the famous book Al-Qanun, and that they call canon. So one day, a person in that area fell sick. When Ibn Sina came, Avicenna came, he saw the Imam was there. He was upset. What is this Imam doing there? But this Imam was a man of wisdom. And, you know, he told Ibn Sina that he could see the body language of Ibn Sina, that he's disappointed why he's there and what's he doing there. So he praised him and said, Ibn Sina, you're such a great physician and you are such and so forth. He praised him. Any person you praise, then people feel happy normally. So he started smiling ear to ear. Then after 2-3 minutes, he criticized his brother and said that, you know, your brother is very, very stingy. He's a miser. He's bakhil, makichus, and so forth. Yet he's such a person. He won't give you ice in winter, as we say, you know. So then he wiped the smile off his face. He said, see, Ibn Sina, you ask me, this person is ill and sick. So what am I doing here? Just now I praise you. You are already flying, you understand, figuratively. And 1 minute only I criticize your brother and I wipe the smile off your face. So see the impact of Kalamul Bashar. Human being speech has such impact. Then what do you think of Kalamullah Ta'ala, the direct speech of Almighty Allah? What impact it will have? I was reading Surah Fatiha. I was reading verses on the Noble Quran and blowing on this person here. So that is why we must have that firm conviction and yaqeen that Allah Jalla Wala will grant cure with the barakah and blessing of the Noble Quran. That doesn't mean now we don't take any other medication. We take that medication, and this is also part of the medication by reading the Noble Quran on the person who's ill and sick.
So this person wants to know, is there a way, is there a remedy to stop my stammering when I recite the Qur'an-i Kareem?
Remember, brother, there are 2-3 different scenarios. One is in speech, you are normal, but when you read Qur'an Sharif, then you start stammering. Or otherwise, at all times, you are stammering and stuttering. So the best dua, again, I'll give you one incident of that as well. So in Surah 20, Surah Taha, verses 25, 26, 27, 28, the story, the incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Jalla Wala taught him, read, O Nabi Musa alayhi salam, you're going to go to the court of the Pharaoh and read, Rabbi shrahli swadri, Ya Allah, you open my heart and bosom for me, wa yasilli amri, Ya Allah, you make my task easy for me, wa hlul uqdatan min lisani, Ya Allah, you remove the knots in my tongue, يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, so that he can understand my speech. You see, before I start tafsir and lessons, normally I read this verse, Surah 20, verses 25, 26, 27, 28. You, my brother, you continue reading the Noble Quran, my brother and sister. Even though you have difficulty, you are stuttering, stammering, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said for Quran Sharif, a person who stutters and stammers, yatata'ata, then for him, falahu ajran, he gets double the reward. One is the recitation and one is the difficulty that you are enduring. So never give up. Remember that, and Quran Sharif will make your speech clearer as well. That is the barakah of the Quran Sharif, inshallah. You know, many, many years ago, 15 years ago or so, there was a family here. They brought one young child, you know, a girl, maybe 3-4 years old, and they said, ke vat ni karech, and she can't speak, and so forth and so on. So I just opened the Quran Sharif and said, see these verses, you must by heart it and read on this girl here, and inshallah things will come right, you know, but you must read it daily and blow on her. Then again another 2-3 years passed, and they came back there. I forgot about the incident. They say, you know this girl? I said, no, I don't know. So he said, it's the same girl we brought to you that time when she couldn't speak, and now see, she's speaking everything. So I forgot about it. So I told him, see, it's not our greatness. It's the greatness of Kalamullah Ta'ala. So when we read the Quran, we blow on our children, grandchildren, and we're reading the du'as of Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ. Almighty Allah has mentioned 25 Anbiya, prophets and messengers named in the Noble Quran, and Allah Jalla Wala said, you follow in their footsteps. So all of you who got problem with your speech and you know you can't utter, I know some people, they can't utter seen and sheen. So when we used to teach, you know, the students there, I say Yaseen, so they read Yaseen, you know. So this comes out automatically. So obviously it's incorrect to read like that. You must read read Yasin. So don't lose hope. Always read the verses. Rabbi shrah li swadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. So in that way Allah jalla wala will make the speech easy and Allah will reward you abundantly.
Permissible to make dua or read dua in sajda whilst in salah.
That in sajda you make dua in Arabic, the Quranic duas, that you are behind the imam, you say Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. You read Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. So all these Rabbanas that people normally read after Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, you read it, it's fine. Sometimes the imam, he takes long, mashallah. So that's good if you read it, but it must be the Arabic du'as. Remember that. All du'as from authentic hadith and so forth. So that also is fine in salat. But it can be in far salat, sunnah salat, nafil salat, all acceptable. There's no problem with that. And if you are out of salat, then remember you can make the du'a in sajda in any language. But you shouldn't do so in the masjid in front of everybody, you know. Then people will think that this person is just showing off and everything. So in the confines of your house, and that's the time you're pouring your heart out to Almighty Allah. Your business is on a downturn, you can't meet your creditors, you can't meet your debts, and you have so many other related problems. So go into sajda at the tahajjud time and cry to Almighty Allah and speak to Almighty Allah in any language. Read 2 rakat, 4 rakat, 6, 8 rakat tahajjud. So it is out of salat and you speak to Allah in any language, that's fine.
For that, Mufti Sahib, is it permissible to distribute Qurbani meat to non-Muslims, especially due to the current crisis?
Remember that Qurbani also is 1 month away now, plus minus, is 1 month and 2-3 days. So inshallah, people are already preparing for that. So according to Hanafis, yes, it is permissible. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kulu wa at'imu wa dakhiru," that you eat yourself from the Qurbani meat and you consume it and you feed others. So whether it's Muslim, non-Muslim, Hanafi ulama say permissible. Wa dakhiru, and you can store it and you know, free it and so forth. So all that would be acceptable, and the hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, various compilations. However, the Shafi'is, Ambalis and them say no, that this is ibadah. This is 100% ibadah, like how zakat and so forth. So you must give Muslims only. So therefore, if you're slaughtering an animal today and you give, you know, non-Muslim, so there's no problem with that. That is just voluntary. But this is Qurbani and it is an act of worship. And it's done khalisatan li wajhillah al-kareem, that only for the pleasure of Almighty Allah. So therefore, the Shafi'is, Hanbalis and them say no, that you cannot allow to give it to non-Muslims, and it must be given to Muslims only. We all know that portion there, that or that part there, that when we have sacrificed and slaughtered the animal, let's say the goat or sheep, then it's best, it's not compulsory, but best you make 3 parts. One you keep for yourself, and one for your family and friends, and one for the poor. So this portion for the poor, remember Hanafis will say Muslim or non-Muslim, and remember that the Shafi'is and them will say no, only Muslim. So that is the academic discussion there, that Qurbani meat should not, and similarly with Aqiqah also, should not be given to non-Muslims according to the Shafi'is, but permissible according to the Hanafis.
How many Hajj and Umrah were performed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
When you study Siratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find all this. And for those of you who are ulama and students or any person who knows the Arabic language, Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, and when I was there in Zambia, so mashallah, Maulana Mutala Rahimahullah, who was so beloved to Hazrat Sheikh Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, he told me, Hazrat Sheikh wrote that kitab in 3-4 days, you know. A masterpiece. Any person who wants to know all meaning, lot of things regarding Hajj, Umrah and related issues, so obtain and procure a copy of this book, Hajjatul Wida wa Umratul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the farewell Hajj of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Umrah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you will find all that there. So there's ijma and consensus that after Hajj became compulsory, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed one Hajj only after it became compulsory, and that was in the 10th year of the Hijrah, and therefore is known as Hajjatul Wida, where Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bid farewell to the Ummah, and that was 10th year of the Hijrah. Hajj was on a Friday. But before that, so remember, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed two Hajj, and it was the custom of people, they were in Makkah, they used to go for Hajj. From Nabi Adam alayhi salam to Salam's time, there's Hajj going on. Ma min nabiyin illa waqad hajja. Every Nabi made Hajj. Every Nabi came to Arafat. And if you open Sahih Ibn Khuzaymah, you will find that Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam performed 10 Hajj. And he came from Minal Hind, Ma'ashiyan. So from India he came. So India don't mean this India what we call today. India means the greater India. You take India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka. So all that put together, that is called Hind in our Islamic terminology. So from there he came and he performed the Hajj 10 times. So therefore Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed 2 Hajj before the compulsion of Hajj. Regarding Umrah, we are in the month of Zulqa'dah. We should know this, that in the 6th year, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fastened Ihram for Umrah, 7th year, 8th year. All this were during the month of Zulqa'dah. 6th year, 1500 Sahaba, according to Bukhari Sharif, approximately. Some hadith say 1400, 1500, in between. So they came and they performed, they fastened the Ihram for Umrah. But when they came to Hudaybiyah, nowadays it's called Shumaysiyah, there we find the mushrikeen at that time, the polytheists, they did not allow them and said that no, we must have the peace treaty and so forth. So that's the aborted Umrah. So that is the 6th year in the month of Zulqa'dah. 7th year they came and that is Umratul Qadha. Again the same 1500 came. They performed the Umrah with Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also during the month of Zulqa'dah. Then in the 8th year of the Hijrah, remember Fatih Makkah took place, and that was during Ramadan. Thereafter the Battle of Hunain took place and so forth. Then we find in the month of Zulqa'dah, Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to a place called Chi'rana. From there Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the Umrah, and therefore when we are there, so I take people sometimes, my family, friends, I say let's perform an Umrah from Chi'rana, 30 kilos or so out of Makkah Mukarramah. From there Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed the Umrah. So that was in the 8th year of the Hijrah in the month of Zulqa'dah. Then in the 10th year of the Hijrah with the Hajj, that was in Zulhijjah, so the Umrah was performed as well. So 4 Umrahs, 3 were done, 1 was aborted, and 3 Hajj. 2 Hajj were before the compulsion and 1 Hajj after Hajj became compulsory.
Is it permissible for ladies to perform their salah as soon as the time for that salah sets in, especially dhuhr after zawal immediately?
Yes, 100%, and it's very, very good for the ladies to do so, provided that you are sure the time for that particular salat has started and entered already. Take, for example, Fajr salat. So you are in Durban, I'm just using times at random now. So you say at 5:30, your time for Fajr has entered, right? And salat in the masjid, it's only 6 o'clock, quarter past 6 or whatever. So you don't have to wait for that. Once you are sure the time is entered and now you want to read your Fajr Salat, so totally permissible. Similarly, other Salat, Zuhur time, that you know that 10 past 12, quarter past 12, 20 past 12, that the time for Zuhur starts. And the Adhan will only go 12:30, 12:45, 1 o'clock. So you want to read at 12:30 because the time is entered, totally permissible and highly recommended to do so. also, especially for the ladies, that you should make ta'ajil, that you make quick and haste regarding your salat. You don't wait till the last minute, asr salat now, 20 minutes, 15 minutes left for sunset, and then you're reading your salat. Remember, that is objectionable. Nabi alayhi salam said, for the men and women, tilka salatul munafiq, that is people who are munafiqeen, they wait right till the last ending time and they read their salat that time there. So we should try and read our salat as soon as possible. Ladies, you don't have to wait for jamaat and congregation. So therefore, once you are sure the time has entered, then you perform your salat very good, mashallah.
Isab, this 23-year-old university student is dependent on his parents, but yet he wants to get married. What is Mufti Saab's advice?
Remember, my brother, that you are staying with your parents and now you realize there is so much fitna going on and so forth. You want to lead a pure and a chaste life, it seems, and that's very, very good. And you're at the right age, 23, and now by the time you're going to finish your studies and there's still 1 year, 2-3 years left. So my advice to you, first and foremost, have a heart-to-heart discussion with your mother, father, depending with who you can discuss issues easily. Thereafter, that you should look at a part-time job, you know, that weekends and so forth. Then and you should tell them that you want to settle down and as soon as possible, yeah, because there's so many fitnas today. Third one, the Quran Sharif commands us that we should get married as quick as possible also. And remember, this delaying is not good. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, two fatwas of his, everyone in this ummah should know. He used to say hypothetically, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu an, that hypothetically Allah Ta'ala tells me, Ya Abdullah, in 10 days time you are going to die. I, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, faqihu hadhil ummah, one of the senior muftis of this ummah, says, I would still get married with the fear of falling into any fitna and vices. This is the golden era of Islam, Sahaba's time. Where are we? You just turn everywhere, there's fitna upon fitna. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, iltamisul ghina fin nikah. You, my brother, you might be thinking you only got 2,000, 5,000, 10,000 rand in your account and everything else, you're dependent on your parents, what will happen? So he said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, when you get married, Allah Jalla Wala will grant you barakah and your wealth will also increase. So three steps. Number one, make intention you want to get married as soon as possible. Number two, discuss it with your parents and tell them you do not want to procrastinate and delay. And third one, look for such a wife that she don't expect all these luxuries from you. Must have the best sofa set and dining room set and goma and must have the best microwave. Simple life, you start your life like that, and in that way you will start appreciating one another. You won't appreciate the wealth only, you will appreciate yourselves, one another. And then see, because you wanted to remain pure and chaste, how much barakah Allah Jalla Wala will bless both of you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. So Surah 65 verses 2 and 3. When you have taqwa and through piety, Allah makes a way out for you. Allah Jalla Wala will give you risk and sustenance from such avenues where you never ever expected. So inshallah, that you beg Allah and get married as soon as possible. That is my advice to you, brother.
Is it permissible for a lady during her haze to read Surah Ikhlas as Isali Sawab?
Yes, 100%. Read with the intention of dua. Don't read with the intention of Tilawatul Quran. Your parents passed away, your husband, children passed away. So you say you want to read Kul Wallahu Ahad, you want to read Ayatul Kursi, you want to read Kul A'udhu Bil Falaq, Kul A'udhu Bin Nas. So you read all this, what I just mentioned, but with intention of dua and supplication, not with the intention, remember, of Tilawatul Quran, and that the ulama have allowed is permissible.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible to use live bait when fishing?
That's not permissible. Remember, I know you in Durban, you love fishing there by the ocean and so forth, but to use live bait, not permissible. Not permissible, remember that. So, that you can use bread or whatever and all that. Let me tell you one story. People, they love stories, you know. So one day, I decided, this was a very young now. So we didn't go school, we top school, as we say in Afrikaans. You know, we play truant. So then my brother, he had his that fishing rod. So I don't like all this fishing. I just said, let me just try it. So I took that fishing rod worth and everything, and I want to sit there with the river, there in Heidelberg. And then I just took the brown bread. And then I suddenly, must be that fish was half blind, you know. So suddenly I see the thing going up and down, that policeman or whatever they call. So I say, hey, something happening. I pull it out. So now I don't know how to take the fish out from the hook, you know. So from there I pulled that fish right. I went to the shop, you know. So I showed my parents and all of them. This was early in the 60s, I think. So they both laughing and they're telling me, nobody asked, you didn't go to school. So where you pull this fish out? I said, no, yeah, the bottom and everything. So then I called the youngster there. There's one John, he worked for us 30, 40 years. So I just told him, John, you pull this fish out and you keep it for you. Me, I don't want this. So that was a true story, not a fishy story. That. So remember, with the brown bread, it did the job, you see. So don't use live bait, brothers. Use all this brown bread and all that. And inshallah, you also will pull out a fish, inshallah. So remember in Islam, inna Allah, that Allah Ta'ala has prescribed you do goodness to everything. See, another thing people do. All this I receive queries, that's how we come to know all. Some people, they say that they, you know, catch the fish and then they throw back inside. Catch and drop or whatever you call it. That also is not permissible. Remember ta'adhib, to cause the fish pain and harm and torture. So all that is unacceptable in Islam. Our religion, Islam, is based on justice and on ihsan. We fulfill our duty with beauty. We don't cause harm, not to human beings, unless it's war, and that is different. In normal circumstances, and we don't cause harm to creation also, so whether it's fish or what have you. So therefore, this business of live bait, that is not permissible in Islam.
JazakAllah khairun to Mufti Sahib. Well, that brings us to our ad break, and after that, it's going to be our last 25 minutes for the Q&A, taking us right until about 5 to 4, and thereafter, it's Mufti Sahib's Nasiha.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, that brings us now to the last 20-some-odd minutes for this afternoon's Q&A program. Mufti Sahib, is it correct, is it permissible for a Muslim business person to have a non-refundable deposit, and even if it be a life or death situation, is this permissible?
Here we need to draw a distinction. One is the agreement that you made with your customer from an Islamic perspective, and one is what the law of the land might say and your country, wherever you are. We are giving you the fatwa from an Islamic perspective. I come to your shop, I want to buy shoes, sandal, clothing, furniture, whatever it is, and then I tell you, fine, that I will pay the deposit, the lay-by, and so forth. So normally what will happen is the item will stay by you, and then I will pay, and then after that, when I pay the amount fully, then I'll take that merchandise, that goods, whatever. But sometimes you see in lockdown, so many people now did not expect all this to happen, and now things went from bad to worse, and now they can't pay. Now they come to you as a Muslim. Whether the client is Muslim or non-Muslim, that's irrespective. So now he tells you, you know what, I agree. I bought that shoes, I bought that furniture, I bought that cutlery, crockery, hardware, whatever. And now, but I want to cancel this deal and so forth, and I can't afford it, I won't be able to pay. So you say, no, my policy is this and so forth, and you don't want to even refund that money. Islamically, that's not permissible. It means you are taking that money and you haven't given that person anything. So obviously that would be unacceptable. This is what we call shirte fasid, a defective transaction that you made, and that would not be acceptable. We are Muslim, and when you speak of business ethics and so forth, in the business ethics, it's mentioned in the noble Quran, wa ahsin kama ahsanallahu ilayk. Do good to people as Allah Ta'ala did good to you. Never think for a moment I became a millionaire and I became rich with this empire because of my degrees or because of my business acumen, or because of my so-called intelligence. Once we start thinking like that, that is the thinking of capitalism, that is the thinking of Qarun. Qarun was a multi-billionaire, multi-trillionaire, multi-zillionaire, call whatever you want. He was so arrogant when it was told to him, Ahsin kama ahsanallahu ilayk, do good as Almighty Allah did good to you. He said, what you talk of Allah? Where Allah comes in the equation? Innama utituhu ala ilmin indi. All this empire of mine and this wealth and assets and billions I accumulated is the knowledge I have. It is my business acumen, my degrees, to use nowadays language, you know. So all this is mentioned in Surah 28, Surah Qasas, verses 77. Then carry on reading and read 78, 79, 80, 81. The day came, he went out with his wealth and assets. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah Jalla Wala let the land and the sand open. He Qarun and his wealth, everything finished. Buried in the land and sand. Chapter 28, verse 81. So don't be so arrogant and think that, no, you can go fly a kite and go to hell, that I got nothing to do with you. Remember, people are suffering and you can see the halat and conditions. So I would never ever advise you to have such a policy, and it's un-Islamic also. So tell the person, I know my beloved father, and there his customers used to come and say that Mali Aziko and we don't have. He said, just take your money and no problem, everything is fine. So imagine that in those days, people used to come and so forth and so on. So what you must do, say fine, that I'm a Muslim, and fine, you left it here. There's no damage, there's no nothing, it's still new, in immaculate condition, I don't deduct anything, and you take your money. That's a da'wat of a true Muslim businessman. A tujaru saduq, when you are a true businessman and you're honest, then yuhsharu yawm al-qiyamah man nabiyyin wa siddiqin wa shuhada. You know Hazrat Sheikh Muhammad Zakariya Nawwarallahu marqadahu. People know about the books he wrote. He wrote Fazail of Sahaba and Fazail al-Quran and Fazail al-Zikr, Fazail Ramadan, Fazail al-Hajj. All that he wrote, Fazail al-Durud Sharif. So he wrote one book, Fazail al-Tijarat also. That the virtues of business, and you will find these type of ahadith, the virtues of a true businessman. So therefore, that's to say that, you know, that if you're going to deposit by me, you pay by me, and then something happens subsequently, then your money is gone. Remember, it's un-Islamic debt.
Mufti Sahib, what is the reward of the chaste and the awabin salah?
Regarding awabin salat, our people read mashallah. Just now will be Maghrib time. So after Maghrib, you read 2 rakat sunnat muakkada, and then you read another 2, so that will make it 6 rakat. So in that 6 rakat, you can incorporate the 2 sunnat muakkada also. So that's fine. And a hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, that Almighty Allah Jalla Wala will bless you with the reward of 12 years ibadat. But there's one proviso there. Lam yataka that in between you don't speak any evil thing, what's the score and who won the match and all that is shaitaniya that. So then remember, you are depriving yourself of the reward. So that is 12 years ibadat. From a hadith perspective, remember the hadith is weak. There's no doubt about it. But it is fadail and virtue. So therefore many ulama accept it. So that is known for the awabin salat. That is after Maghrib, the 6 rakats. And you can read 2, 2, 2. So that's easy way of doing it. And regarding your chash namaz, remember Salatul Duha. The starting time will be 15 minutes after sunrise. You read the first 2 rakat, Salatul Ishraq, and then you read another 2 rakat from that time already. Tomorrow morning, sunrise, 5 to 7. 10 past 7, yeah, by us. So in Johannesburg. So it's quarter past 7, 10 past 7, 20 past 7, you read first 2 rakat, Ishraq. Then you read another 2 rakat, Salatul Duha. And then you go to work, Alhamdulillah. And if you got time, you wake up, you just think, you read your salah, 10 o'clock, 11, 11:30, so that's fine. Banallahu lahu biha baytan fil jannah. Allah Jalla wala will bless that person with the remember palace in Jannah, the hadith in Tabarani, and various compilations. And if you open, you will find Mishkat Sharif and so forth. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the salat also 8 rakats on the occasion of Fatih Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. One amal I'll give you is mentioned by Imam Malik rahimahullah. And those of you who know nowadays some schools are closed, universities are closed, and some people are at home all the time. So it's very easy to practice on this. Imam Malik rahimahullah was a genius. Imam Daril Hijra, teaching hadith right there next to Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that, now for example, I'm just giving example. Say for example, in your town, the istiwa. Istiwa means when the sun reaches the zenith. It's quarter to 12, right? Quarter to 12, 10 to 12, 5 to 12, around that time there, for example. So 11 o'clock, 11:15, 11:30 or so, perform nice wuzu properly and then read 4 rakat salat. You read 2 rakat and then you make salam. Then you read another 2 rakat, so it's 2 or so. So you make intention of salatul duha, everything. You know what's the reward you get? You get the reward as though as you made ibadat on Laylatul Qadri, the night of majesty, the night of destiny. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfisha. And this is not some small person. This is Imam Malik rahimahullah quoting this hadith. So therefore, use our leisure time in the pleasure of Almighty Allah. And then you beg Allah, raise your hand and say, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Wahhabu, Ya Fattahu, Ya Fattah, Ya Basitu, Ya Basitu. You speak to Allah and see how many things will happen in our life. Remember that today people are sick. Somebody sent me a message, you know, that my family member from here, Gauteng region, and he said, please make dua, you know, I'm feeling bad, I got COVID-19, so I know the person, here in Joburg, our side, this side, Gauteng side. So anyway, he's feeling bad, and so forth, and he's feeling, so I said, see, if you want ilaj, you want cure, then first thing you have to do is what? That you have to be positive. If you're not going to be positive, then remember that it will take much longer. So first thing, know, wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah. Good, bad, happy, sad comes from Almighty Allah. First thing. Second one is this. Now read these du'as. Dua number one. Every person who's ill and sick, you got COVID-19, you got this, you got that, you got... People have different sicknesses. So remain positive in the mercy of Allah. Then read the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Surah 21, verse number 83. Anni masaniya durru wa anta rahamur rahimin. Ya Allah, this calamity has struck me. Ya Allah, this problem has struck me of this illness and so forth and so on. You are most merciful one to show mercy. See Allah, a dua of a Nabi. Definitely we accept it. Second one, Surah 21, verse 87. Dua of another Nabi. Nabi Yunus alayhi salam. Now you go to Ori, sorry, you read the newspaper, you look at your phone, this one passed away and this happened. Now you finish, you're julab. You know that your stomach starts working even more and everything now. So what you going to do? La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu mina zalimin. So you read that. The anxiety, the worry, sorry, all will disappear. Today the ummah has lost all this to become positive. We are so negative, you know, and therefore we can't take up the challenges that we are facing. So two du'as already, Surah 21 verse 83, Surah 21 verse 87, third du'a. That again a Nabi's du'a, Surah number 7 verse 151, Nabi Musa alayhi salam, crying, begging, petitioning Allah, wa adkhilna fi rahmatik wa anta rahamur rahimin. Oh Allah, you include us in your special mercy, Allah. You are the most merciful one to show mercy. Quran Sharif, Surah Fatiha is Surah Shifa. Read 7 times Surah Fatiha, blow on yourself. You're feeling weak and drowsy. Tell your wife, tell your son, tell your daughter. So your parent is not well. You do so, O son, daughter, and blow on your parents. So all this we can do. Charity, give out some biscuit, give out some food, give out some money, Muslim, non-Muslim, anything. We're wasting so much money. Da'u marudakum bi sadaqah. So give out on behalf of the people who are sick in your family. Read 2 rakat extra salat now, that before the Zohar time starts, you understood? I know now is already Asr time, I'm giving example. So 11 o'clock, quarter past 11, you read 4 rakats. I told you the hadith of Imam Malik. And so these are the way you will see Allah Jalla wa Ala. See Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. When I fall ill and sick, He, Allah, gives me shifa. And thereafter you read the Asma'ul Husna, the beautiful, wonderful names of Almighty Allah, and read, Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu. And Ya Allah, you promised us, Ya Allah, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى. إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرَى. Allah is giving us hope. Allah is giving us inspiration. Allah is giving us motivation. Ya Allah, what difficulty? One difficulty, two relief, two ease. So you repeat these verses, you build yourself up and see how Almighty Allah's mercy will come. Don't go in a negative mode. Go into the positive and think about all the bounties, favors that Allah has blessed us with. Then you see our life will become much more meaningful. Allah give tawfiq.
Person is going to be married very, very, will be making nikah very soon. They're confused. They wanted to know which is preferable, Mahara Fatimi or Mahara Azwaj.
Remember the Azwaj which Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, the honorable wives, and the Mahara Fatimi, if you look at the amount, is the same, 500 dirhams. So there's no real difference there. So nowadays, 16,000 rand. So mashallah, you are a person of substance, you got the means and so forth. So you tell your wife to be, and tell her father or tell her brother, you don't have to communicate with her all the time. So you must remember, you are happy, she's happy, you want to get married now, don't procrastinate and delay. So tell your future father-in-law, future brother-in-law, you know what, that I'm prepared to give 16,000 rand or 16,500. If you got more, mashallah, little bit more, one, no problem. Or 17 also, whatever you want to give. And you can give it in cash, you can give it in kind, in jewelry, gold coins, whatever. So you discuss with them, because remember, that is the right of the lady, and she will discuss with her brother, her parents and so forth, and they are happy with it, so that will give her a sense of security. Look at the sacrifice our wives are making, everything they're leaving, the environment they're accustomed to. She was born there, she grew up there, she's 18, 20, 22 years old. Now for your love and your pleasure, she'll be leaving her parents, leaving her preferred siblings, leaving her friends, everything, to spend the remainder of her life with you, our husband. What you think? Is that not a big sacrifice? It's a huge, huge sacrifice. Therefore, treat your wives with love and with justice. Surah 4, verse 19. وَآشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Can you get anything better than Quran Sharif? Never. It is the constitution for humanity, posterity, and his direct speech of Allah. Then explained to us by Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam through speech and actions and deeds. خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِيكُمْ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِي. The best of you are the best of you to your wives and your children. I, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, am the best to my wives and my children. Who will report this hadith? None other than Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq radiallahu anhuma. Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha reports, hadith is authentic in Tirmidhi. Okay, today I'm a little bit in a mood for you, brother, so let me give you my gift, wedding gift for you. So you're getting married this week, next week, 2 weeks time, inshallah, brother. So what you going to do now? What you thinking you going to do? So let's take you through the quick. So Adabu Laylati Zifaf. So you must remember the etiquettes of the wedding night. So you are alone now, your nikah, we performed it, right? Example. So now when the nikah is performed, I come to meet you, the men come to meet you. So we will read, Barakallahu lak. Barakallahu alaik wa jama'a baynakuma fil khair. Allah give you and your wife barakah from all sides and directions. Allah keep you and your wife in khair and goodness forever and ever. Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood. Then it's your wedding night. Now you alone in privacy with your wife. Then what? So you go to your musalla and you will be the imam, and your wife will stand directly behind you. You will give the iqama, O husband, and then you read Surah Fatiha and you read any Surah. Now you know Qul A'udhu bi-Falaq, Qul A'udhu bin-Nas, so you read that, for example, after Surah Fatiha. So you ask Allah, I'm starting a new stage and phase in my life. The hadith is mentioned in Musannaf Ibn Abi Shaybah. So on your wedding night, you read Salat with your wife. Second one, thereafter you give her a gift. Beside this 15, 16, 17,000 you gave her, another gift. So that is Sunnah, hadith in Musnad Ahmad. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave milk to Siddiqa, Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. Anything you want to give. You want to give money, you want to give jewelry, clothing, whatever. So that you give with the intention of Sunnah. Third one, now she's all dressed up, proportion, all that. So you don't worry about all her hairstyle. You take some water, don't make cold water now, some nice water, lukewarm. And then you sprinkle on her forehead. So why? So that tikkumagat, you know, sometimes people are short fuse. And oh, from wedding night they're fighting already. So you sprinkle the water and read the hadith in Musannaf Abdul Razak. Allahumma inni asaluka khairaha wa khaira ma fiha. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّيَا وَشَرِّ مَا فِيهَا. Ya Allah, whatever great qualities this lady has, let us share it, Ya Allah. Whatever weaknesses she has, Ya Allah, then protect her and protect me. Then she will take the water and sprinkle on you. So remember, because you also short fuse and you start shouting, screaming for small thing. So in a case like that, you did all that. Now you're going to sleep, you read your namaz, everything. Not only your nafil namaz, your first salat also. So before husband, wife go sleep and meet and everything, so meet and greet. So remember, learn this dua mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Bismillah. First you say Bismillah in the name of Allah. Allahumma jannibna shaitan. Ya Allah, put the shaitan far, far away from us. Don't let the waswasa and whispering shaitan come and cause trouble here. Wa jannibi shaitan amar zaqtana. Ya Allah, keep us protected from shaitan and keep our children and progeny also protected from shaitan. Send him far away. So every couple, you should know this dua. Marriage is not just sleeping together and you know that everything finished, bedroom, bathroom. No, you must know all this. Bismillahi jannibna shaitan wa jannibi shaitan amar zaqtana. Hadith Bukhari Sharif. Then you see how Allah will bring the unity between husband and wife, how your children will become the coolness of your eyes, and in that way you will have not people want to go Maldives and Mauritius and Malaysia. After 1 week, 2 weeks, the honeymoon finish, and then all the damal trouble starts. Allah will give you 20, 30, 40, 50 years, long, long honeymoon, mashallah. Because your foundation was a solid foundation, which Almighty Allah taught us, which Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Oh, parents, teach your children all these type of things. Getting the best mattress and king size and getting the best gadgets won't bring the joy. The joy is when we practice what Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Fattabi'uni, follow me, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam, immaculately. Yuhbibukumullah, you become the beloved of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Never mind, people swear us, no problem. Allah loves us. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves us. Alhamdulillah. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum, and Almighty Allah will forgive you your sins. Now you show me something better. So this is what we have to teach our children.
So that brings us now to our final question, already 1554. This person says they had forgotten to read Dua-i Qunut. Can you rectify that by making sajda so?
Yes, in your Witr Salat, remember Witr Salat now, everybody should be reading on their own. Only during Ramadan we read in congregation. And remember that now we read, and if you read Witr before you sleep, Alhamdulillah, Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an, that awtir qabla an tarqud, that before you sleep, you should read the Witr, Ya Abu Huraira radiallahu an. He was a student, so student needs to study. And for others, mashallah, it's winter now, long, long nights, Allah give tawfiq, we wake up 4 o'clock, quarter past 4, and so forth, up past 4, and we can read 2 rakat, 4, six, eight rakat, and then witr. Ij'alu akhira salatikum bil layli witra. So make your last salat at night the witr. Sabbih isma rabbikal a'la, first rakat after Fatiha. Second rakat kul ya al kafirun. And then the third rakat kul wallahu ahad. And you read the dua kunut. Allahumma inna nasta'inuka. So remember that the hadith you will find in the marasil of Imam Abu Dawood rahimahullah. And if you read Allahumma adina fi man hadait, it's perfect. That also is sunnah. Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught this to Sibtun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his beloved Nawasa Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, and the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif. So all these are flexible. But now we human being, we forgot. So in a case like that, you didn't read kunut at all. So then you make sajdah sahu and your salat will be valid. There's no problem with that. So inshallah, and if you do not know this dua kunut, then you read any Rabbana, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasanata wa qina adhaban nar. So that also will suffice.
And for that, Mufti Sahib, that brings us now to the nasiha.
Jazakallah khairan, first and foremost to you, Hafiz Wadi, and we have to thank all the directors as well, our Haji Muhammad Ikhlas and the entire Capital Group, and our Haji Muhammad Yusuf and Hafiz Shabir Basha of the Radio Ansar International team. Our brother Faidal Asmal as well, we have to thank him. So now we know that so many people are worried about this COVID and about the halat, about business and so forth, their health and all this year. So remember, I repeat what I said just now. Number one, that you must remain positive in the mercy of Allah. La taqnatu min rahmatillah. Never lose hope in the mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Second one, try and read some simple du'as. Read Surah Fatiha. Read Ya Salamu. Read La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min adh-dhalimin. You worried about the month is ending now. June is coming to the end. Wednesday will be first of July. How are you going to meet all your commitments? How are you going to meet your with your creditors? So learn the dua. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Allah, I'll read it twice. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ghalabati ad-dayn wa qahri ar-rijal. Hadith in Bulughul Maram, Mustad Ahmad. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika, O beloved Allah, I seek your protection, min ghalabati dain, that the debts are overpowering me, wa qahri rijal, and the creditors are applying so much pressure, now they want to send the lawyer's letter, and the letter of demand and summons, so many issues people face, so you cry to Allah, one more time, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ghalabati ad-dayn, that the debts overpowering, wa qahri rijal, and the creditors applying pressure. Then we also should look at our own life. Remember this, we waste so much. We just want to show off and impress people. If we lead a simple life, remember this, now people are caught up. I receive all these type of queries that I can't meet my commitments. I can't do this. I got car, I got house, I got this, I got that, but I don't have liquid, I don't have cash. So can I take zakat? How you can take zakat when you got all these luxuries? It's not permissible. So what answer? We have to start changing our lifestyle for the better. We don't have to impress people. Remember that. Make lead a peaceful life, simple life, and all Almighty Allah will be pleased with us. Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be pleased with us. And you get away from the death trap. Remember that. Okay, next up, 4 o'clock, inshallah, my brother Hafiz Yusuf Kala, wonderful Naat Sharif, thereafter the Asr Adhan, and thereafter Urdu Bayan by Mufti Tariq Masood, and remember that the problems the Ummah is facing now, thereafter Zikr Tal Maghrib Adhan, and thereafter from 6 o'clock right up to 8 o'clock, 2 hours, a repeat of the program Legal Matters and Legal Talk by Hafiz Suhail Wahid and Advocate Hafiz Firoz Bouda, and they discuss the Guantanamo Bay. So that will be between 6 and 8, inshallah. Then between 8 and 10, you can listen to Mohana Arafat and Moha Salim Kareem, and that will be the repeat of the panel discussion with Moha Salim Kareem and Mohana Arafat between 8 and 10. 9 o'clock will be Isha Adhan. And thereafter, mashallah, at 10 o'clock, the Urdu lecture by Mufti Muhammad Ali Falahi, the Sahaba's love for Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And 11 o'clock, you can listen to a lecture by Muhammad Dawood Siddat and Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu ta'ala. And Jazakallah khair, we thank our brother Lukolo. Inshallah, he'll prepare the podcast. We'll send it out. Jazakallah khairan, make dua for the Ummah and all those who are ill and sick. And Allah grant all the marhumeen Jannatul Firdaus. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Mufti Sahib as well as to the esteemed listeners of the various radio stations. Until next time, we say fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.